We will turn to 2 Samuel 13. One more scripture that I had, and I forgot to write it down. Second Samuel 13. Verse 1 here, it says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, the previous chapter, David finally, his sins caught up with him. He thought he had gotten away from God. Something that he had done there by taking Bathsheba and getting her pregnant. And like I've been bringing out, he should have, both of them should have died for the act that they committed according to Deuteronomy 22:22. And, God's grace actually spared David and Bathsheba. And here we get later on, 9 months go by, baby is born, and the prophet shows up at David's house and says, gives him a parable, and David rises up and says, the person that did this is going to die. And the prophet said, you're not going to die. But David also made a comment about how they have to restore fourfold. And when he said that, that actually was a prophecy that was going to be fulfilled in his own life, where he ended up losing four sons. And we're picking up the first son that he, actually the second son, the first son that he lost was the son that he had from Bathsheba. But again, God's love and God's grace allowed him to have another son from Bathsheba by the name of Solomon, who became the next king of Israel. So God's grace is something that's just so precious to us, and we should never take it for granted. But we're going to see a second son pass in this particular chapter here. And let's just kind of read the story. And the other thing, Brother Branham told us, we read this quote. He said, the reason that he can believe the Bible is because the Bible gives both the negative and the positive of things that happen, right? It's not a book that's just sharing all the good things. But there's some things that happen here that you look at like, oh my, why did that happen? Well, some of that is so that we don't repeat those mistakes, right? But the other thing that we need to understand about God is that what we have in our possession right now when it comes to the knowledge of the Word of God, what we have in our possession, there has been no other time before our time where people could walk in the fullness of the truth. God was only revealing so much of himself as the years were unfolding. He'd only given so much in the days of Adam, and so much in the days of Noah, and so much in the days of Moses, so much, it just only so much. But now we got the full picture of what God's perfect plan was and how we want to walk before him. And that's why as a church, we don't push aside, Old Testament teachings. It's very important, I think, for the body of Christ. I mean, we got to have both the Old Testament and New Testament to get a better picture as to what God had in his mind. Certainly, there are laws there that we cannot actually execute on nowadays. Some of those laws, or certain people get caught in certain sins, they would be stoned to death. Actually, just being disobedient to a parent was something that would generate a stoning, right? We can't do that with our children nowadays. People, they would say that's just way too much. But, and the thing of it is that God just wanted people to operate a certain way, so he allowed those things to happen during that period of law. But we got to get a better picture in our mind when we see things in Deuteronomy, we see things in Leviticus, we see various laws that are there, then we get a better picture in our mind as to what God's holiness is all about, right? I think that song that Sister Rebecca was playing is going to be very appropriate for our lesson tonight as we go through this. So, again, David sinned with Bathsheba. They lost the first son, and David prophesied that, you know, the fourfold this man would have to restore because of the act that he committed, and, you know, and he ended up losing four sons. So the second son in chapter 13 will identify Amnon, and he will also be killed. Amen. So David will lose four sons. But let's start here. Verse 2 says, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister. Now, let's just make sure we understand. David had all of these children, but they were not by the same mother. All right, they weren't by the same mother. But still, in all of that, God had law where whether, you know, your sister was born of the same mother or not, you were not supposed to do certain things with your sister, right? God still had law. Now, if we were to go back to Genesis, we would understand that Adam and Eve started the human race. And, you know, from the book of Josephus, who's a historian, you know, on the scripture, he said that Adam and Eve had 70 children. And through those 70 kids, the boys that were recorded, you know, married their sisters. Cain married his sister. Seth married his sister. You know, that's the way it was back then. But law came later on where God said, no, you can't marry your sister, right? You not only can you marry your sister, but, I mean, even Abraham married his half-sister. You know, we had those things happen in Scripture. But law was, God gave law after, you know, many of those events where that is unacceptable today, right? No marrying no sister, no sexual relations with no sister, none of that, right? I mean, even our law today, if you got a household, a family, they want you to have so many rooms in your house to separate the boys from the girls, right? Even in our law today, they have that, right? And that's needful. It's needful. Let's read. It says this. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, but she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Now, when you say fell sick, that means he began to lust after his own sister. Okay? But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now here, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, which would make them cousins, right? If we could just read between the lines, you can't trust your cousins, right? Some of your cousins don't have the right intention, right? So when your mom and your dad are telling you not to go to so-and-so house, they know that maybe there's a Jonadab living there. We understand, right? Amen. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah. And I mean, I just love the way the scripture put it, because we always consider our family members friends. But, you know, family members be the first one to get you involved in sin. It's family members, right? Not friends, because you let down your guards with family members. Family members will have you smoking reefer, drinking beer, huh, hitting crack. That's what family members will do. And then when you do it, they'll talk about you. You got to watch family members. Amen. My God, everybody ain't on your side. My. Some jealousy rises in family so fast, right? And the spirit of jealousy, it rises so fast. And so people set you up to do things just so they can have something to say negative about you. And they won't ever let up. You can go years without. They won't never. They'll come right back to you. Say, you know, remember you did this, all right? Family members. That's the ones that do that. Not friends. Family members. And the problem with family members, you friends you can get rid of. Family members you can't. You connected by blood. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. crafty, okay? And he said unto him, and you know, we all got relatives like this. We all got relatives like this. Well, they got a, you trying to get something, they got a way to get it. They always got it, you know. I mean, and you don't even think that way, but I mean, you done went to the store and they just borrowed your purse for a few minutes. When you get out the store, it's all kind of stuff in there. You wonder how it got in there. You got a Jonadab, a crafty, subtle person. Man, it's the truth. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Pretty much he's losing weight, right, from day to day. Would thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. Make yourself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. Now, how is he going to get better? You know, if he's sick, how is he going to get better by doing something like that? Right? So Amnon lay down. He took his cousin's advice. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. You can just see probably how he might have said it to his daddy. You know, certain way of saying that to get, you know, make sure daddy say yes to this request. Then David sent home to Tamar saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house and he was laid down and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. Now, you know, here she just doing what a sister would do, right? You know, but if I could just go a little further, this is why I would encourage, you know, even when people are courting, brother and sister, don't be alone with one another. Don't do that. You give place to the devil, right? I mean, here he's sitting there. He just got a bad lust spirit. And I'm sure she probably picked up some wrong vibes in that room. I'm sure this ain't right. But there's not much that she could do because her daddy told her to go to her brother's house, right? So here, you know, here she done took a pan, poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And I'm sure that was another telltale sign. Something wrong with this, right? And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. Now, she knew that this wasn't looking right, you know. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. Now, he didn't want to eat in the living room. He wanted to eat in the bedroom, right? This guy has a really bad spirit, and this is his sister. This is his sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. She's trying to stand up for herself. Now, when she says that, you know, no such thing ought to be done in Israel, she's actually referring to Scripture. And we're going to come back. We'll keep our finger there on verse 12. But let's go to a couple scriptures here. Deuteronomy 27:22. And then I'm going to go to a couple scriptures in the book of Leviticus. Deuteronomy 27:22. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, it says this, cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. So here in the book of Deuteronomy, it's listed as a law within Israel that a man not supposed to lie with his sister, right? Not supposed to happen. Over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. And verse 17 in that. She's referring back to scripture when she says that, hey, this is not supposed to be happening, you know. Leviticus 20 and 17 says, if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. This was wrong. You were not supposed to do this. And he knew it was wrong. She knew it was wrong. And she actually called him out on it. There's also another scripture here in Leviticus chapter 18. Let's start reading at verse 7. There's a number of things that Moses wrote here, and I will read and I'll make a few comments here. Verse 7 says, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. And, you know, one of the reference scriptures for that was Jacob, when he had wives as well as concubines, and his son Reuben lay with one of his concubines. That was something that was never supposed to happen, right? So here God put law, you know, in place. After a lot of these acts that took place in Genesis, God brought forth law to let people know what his holiness was, what his holiness was. And I'm going to tell you something. If people would get back to this, you know how people cut out the Old Testament? If they get back to these type of teachings, it'll cut out a lot of sin. It'll stop a lot of sin. If churches got back to preaching this and talking about this, it'll stop a lot of sin from happening, right? It says, the nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. So this is the sisters talking about. Nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So when Tamar is referring, you know, or telling him that this is something that should not be done, she's actually referring back to these scriptures. She knows where she, I mean, this is a young lady that believes the word of God, and she's trying to hold to the principles of the word of God, right? But here her brother is put, he's already put everybody out, and he's put her in a very compromising position, and he's actually raping his own sister. This is rape, right? This is nothing but nothing less than rape in the Bible, all right? Now here, verse 13 says in 2 Samuel 13, it says, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? I mean, think about what you're doing to me. Whither shall I cause my shame to go? I mean, this, we read earlier where this young lady is a virgin, right? And to have to go through something like this with her own brother, that's a shame. It's a shame, right? And the Bible put it there because this type of stuff still happened today. Mm-hmm. People don't talk about it, but it still happens today, right? And again, if churches taught that, then maybe we can get people to kind of get away from that. Oh, you know what? I wanted to read something else to y'all. Go back to Leviticus 18, because there's a lot of other scriptures that I think that would be very important. Something else that happens today Leviticus 18:22. So we can kind of rule out this thing where people say they're born a certain way. No, you're born either male or you're born female. There ain't no in-betweens, right? God don't make no junk, right? You're either male or female, right? And all this thou shalt nots, if you go back and read, you know, it's telling you don't lay with your sister, don't lay with your auntie, don't lay with your mother-in-law, don't lay with nobody that's related to you. That's incest, right? They don't do that. And then it get all the way down to verse 22, and it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's homosexuality. So the scripture is very plain with teaching against these things. So this is why people don't want the Bible around. And anybody that actually believes the Bible and reads these scriptures, you know, we become intolerant. It's not that we're intolerant. We're trying to follow the word of God, right? And if we want to keep sin out, you know, not just out of our lives, but out of the world that we live in, we got to follow the word of God, right? So it was very, very clear. And there's other things in there, too, that, Lord, you don't like saying these things, but it's the truth anyhow. The next verse said, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And that happens nowadays too, where you have people doing this type of stuff. You got to watch this. I mean, people have you introduced all kind of foolishness. You better stay with this word of God, right? Anybody, young or old, you end up out in the world somewhere, you don't know what you end up into. You don't know where you at. All kind of foolishness go on out there. I mean, it's sin. Sin is at higher levels than you ever even imagine. And we talk about things like this. I've heard of it happening in the church. I've heard of it. So I know it still exists. And it's best to be taught from the pulpit so that we don't have it happening in the church. Amen, I've heard of it. I've heard of brothers and sisters. I've heard of animals. I've heard of these things, right? The Bible speaks plainly against it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you get to a spot where you're getting all passionate, you need to find a mate. That's what you need to do, right? And you need to keep yourself until God sends you somebody. But don't get caught up in all this, because this stuff God hates. God hates it. But here, back over here in 2 Samuel 13. Verse 13 again. And whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he would not withhold me from thee. So if you really love me that much, ask the king to marry me. If I could just take this and twist it a little bit more for a young lady. If a young man say he love you that much, he need to be able to put a ring on your finger. If he can't put a ring on your finger, he ain't meaning no business. He ain't up to no good. No good. He ain't got no job. Don't let him. I'm talking about ain't got no job, ain't had no job in a good while. He might be in between jobs or something like that, but please don't let that young man into your life. Don't let him in. Right? I mean, if he mean good, he'll go to work. We heard that on Sunday, right? A young man will go to work for a young lady that he loved. But if a young lady that he lust, he ain't going to work. You got a black book and you just want to put your name in it, right? And actually, it's not the black book no more. It's just on the telephone. You'll just be girl number one or girl number two or girl number three. You ain't even got no name in his phone. You just girl number. Don't be like that. Don't lower your standards so low that you let a guy, especially you done kept yourself all, make that guy come up to the par. I ain't keep myself a junk. Right? I'm looking for God's best.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. It's not worth it. Why go through all this and then end up getting somebody to make your life miserable. It's not worth it. Just wait on the Lord. God will send you a husband. Don't just worry about who here, right? The world is big. And God got some Holy Ghost-filled young men all over. And he know exactly how to get you connected. Trust me. I mean, God is smart. So don't limit yourself and don't buy the lie of the devil. Say, well, ain't no brothers. We got a church full of sisters. If we got this many sisters, brothers will come. Trust me, they will come. You let me take a busload of sisters, you know, somewhere to some meeting somewhere. Watch, we're having all kind of meetings. People bringing all kind of brothers down. Just trust me, they'll come. And you ain't got to throw yourself out there either. Praise the Lord. You ain't got to dress provocatively to get their attention. They'll come. You just have character. That's all you need is godly character. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth, right? But, I mean, these things need to be said. But, you know, if and here tomorrow's telling him, like, look, don't think about my reputation, right? Think about what this is going to mean to me after you do this. Think about this. And he's not even caring about her reputation. He just wants to satisfy his passion. Look at it. Verse 14 says, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her, then Amnon hated her. What? After you done did this to this young lady, now you're going to hate her? I mean, there are scriptures that were in place that if a young man took advantage of a young lady, he was supposed to marry her. That's what he was supposed to do. He had to get he had to pay that daddy so much money, and then he had to get married to that young lady. And not only get married to her, I'll read it here in a little bit, not only get married to her, he could never divorce her. If he took a young lady through something like this, and I mean didn't wait till they was married before they had some type of relation, if he took a young lady through something like that, he could never divorce. I don't care how displeasing she was, how much she backtalked, he could never divorce that lady because of how he humbled her. Couldn't do it. I'm gonna tell you, if these things were still taught, people would be careful about what they do. Look at it. Verse 15 says, and Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. Now, how did he go that far, two opposite ends of the spectrum, that fast? Right. It says he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her, and Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. What is that? Then did this to this young lady, and just get out my house. That's sad. I'm going to come back to verse 16. Let me just pick up something here. They had a little comment here in my Bible, and the note says, lust, whether fulfilled or not, often turns to hatred. Lust, whether it's fulfilled or not fulfilled, that lust often turns to hatred. Because the scripture said that he loved her, but he didn't love her to do it like that. He lusted her. He lusted her, right? And let's just pick up something over in Genesis 39, because this happened also, you know, somebody else had a bad lust spirit. And, you know, when that lust is unfulfilled, it turns to hatred. I'm going to tell you, Brother Branham talked about something for you young people that will, we'll be getting married. I'm speaking it by faith that, you know, you'll get married. But the way that you know whether your relationship is properly grounded, it says if a young lady, a young man are seeing each other, and then one of them decide, you know, in the relationship, you know, hey, I like so-and-so more than I like you. And they come and tell you that. if your relationship is grounded right, you would actually say, you know what? I just want you to be happy. And if you'll be more happy with so-and-so, then I release you to go be with so-and-so, right? I really want you to be happy. So that's how you know whether your relationship is just right, right? Because otherwise you're like, well, you know, so-and-so, what's the matter with me? No, you missed it. Maybe that's not the one God wanted for you, so you have to just kind of let that one go. Let it go, right? Let it go emotionally. Let it go any other way that you connect it, let it go, right? Let the number go out your phone. Let the email be erased. Do whatever you got to do to just get rid of that, but let it go. And don't be calling them later on to see how their relationship doing, right? No, just let it go. That's what you have to do. But that lets you know that you balance just right when you can do that. Genesis 39, verse 7 says this, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So we see another lust spirit. Now, this lady is married, but her husband is off on a trip, and now she wants to take advantage of Joseph. But verse 8 says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not just sinning against my master, but I'm sinning against God. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day. Now, that was a key statement there. This was not no one-time incident and Joseph failed. No, she kept pursuing Joseph day after day after day. And he had to say no on Monday, say no again on Tuesday, no again on Wednesday, no again on... He had to keep saying no every day that this Potiphar's wife would come and approach him. You know what? We got to do the same thing. The devil sends somebody? No. The devil sends another person? No. The devil, no. No. If they're not coming from God, it's no. And that's just the way it's got to be. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Now, she thought this was her opportunity. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Now, she didn't cry with no loud voice. She lied, right? But it shows that lust eventually turns to hatred. Lust, whether fulfilled or unfulfilled, eventually it's going to turn to hatred. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison, in the prison. And I like verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I guess in my mind, I would say, now, if the Lord was with me, he would have stopped this from happening to me. You know, I would have never got in this situation if the Lord was with me. But you know what? God had purpose for Joseph going through that trial, because he needed Joseph to be in prison to meet a certain group of men, one man in particular, And that one man would tell Pharaoh about him, and then he'd be raised the second in charge in Pharaoh's court. But he had to go through those trials in order to get there, right? I just wanted to show how lust unfulfilled turns to hatred. And this happened with Potiphar's wife. That was lust that she had towards Joseph. That was lust. Now, over here in 2 Samuel, we see Amnon having lust for his sister Tamar. And after he humbles her, he kicks her out of his house, and which is shameful that he treated this young lady this way. Young sisters, y'all deserve to be respected. You deserve to be respected. And so don't let any young man just treat you any kind of way. You deserve respect. Now, the other side to that is that if he's been keeping himself, he also deserves respect. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And even if a person make a mistake, you know, once they come and they commit to serving the Lord, and they keep and they commit themselves to the Lord and they're keeping themselves, then, hey, they deserve respect. It actually take even more for that person to hold on. I remember the lady that told her husband, I know it's hard for you to live this Christian life. I've been living this way for years, you know, all my life. But it's hard for you to live this way. And she say, I just want you to know, if you fall, if something go wrong out there, don't stay. Just come on home, right? Because she had grace for a man, knowing that he was trying his best. She gave him respect. And the man went and told his friend, say, a woman that treat me like that, how could I do anything wrong towards her? How could I? So you deserve respect. Don't let anybody take that from you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So verse 16, 2 Samuel 13. She said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. She had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the kings, daughters that were virgins appareled. See, I mean, as a virgin, she could wear, you know, this certain clothing that let people know that she was, you know, a virgin. And back in those days, it was a blessing to be a virgin. I'm going to tell you, even today, it's still a blessing to be a virgin, to keep yourself until you get married. You do not have to go from boy to boy to boy before you get married. You ain't got to do that. Keep yourself. God still want to see virgins in the land today, and that's both man and woman. Young man ain't got to go from girl to girl to girl, trying this out and trying to know, and don't let nobody force you into that, telling you you got to do that. No, you don't. You keep yourself. Amen. Verse 19 says this, and Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Now, I wanted to bring in a scripture here just with that, verse 19, where she put ashes on her head. I mean, notice that she had a garment that represented that she was a virgin, because all the king's daughters wore this. But after this act, she actually put ashes on her head, rent the garment, tore the garment, right? And by her doing that, it let, let's read a couple more verses and I'll come back. It let her brother Absalom know something had happened. Verse 20 says, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon, my brother, been with thee? How did he know? He knew that she was at the house. And just with the way that she was looking, let her brother Absalom know something that just happened here. Absalom, her brother, said to her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Absalom and Tamar had the same father and the same mother. All right, so that's why Absalom was a little upset. I want to go to a scripture, Deuteronomy 22, verse 23. The scripture here in Deuteronomy 22, it kind of speaks of something a little different, but what I want to draw out of here is her actions, which I thought were very appropriate. Deuteronomy 22:23, and it says this, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her. So, I mean, she's engaged, and then a man find her and lie with her. Then you should bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. So if she hid it, if she didn't cry, or demonstrate that something had happened to her, then she'd be guilty, you know, just as guilty as the man. I want to go on to verse 25 here. All right, it says, but if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. All right. I was just one time at a little discussion amongst some brothers, and they were just saying how, you know, they felt that if something, they were using the scripture in Deuteronomy, they felt like if a young lady did not cry, if somebody was trying to take advantage of her, but she didn't cry out, then she was just as guilty. And one of the brothers said that, you know, she would have to say something like, hey, police, hey, police. And I'm thinking, no, she really couldn't say that because they didn't really have police back in those days, not like we got today. So it had to be a different way that she would cry out. And I always thought that the way that they would cry out is the same way that Tamar just cried out. The way that she cried out is that she rent her clothes, she put ashes on her head, and it showed just by her appearance, it showed that something had happened to her. And immediately her brother Absalom knew what had occurred, and they dealt with that thing. Now, it didn't get dealt with right away. It took a little time, and we're going to read that right now, but it got dealt with. Let's finish this up. Back in 2 Samuel 13, verse 22 again says, and Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, behold, now thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. This was supposed to be a celebration, a time of celebration when they did sheep shearing. It's like a big feast and everything that would be thrown. And the king said to Absalom, nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be charged one to thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now, he should have known that something was wrong by him asking for Amnon specifically. But remember, 2 years has passed, and everybody thought that maybe this had been washed under, you know. But here goes verse 20. It says, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you, be courageous and be valiant. Now, see, that to me is gang activity. It's like drive-by shootings, right? I'm going to drive. You hold a gun and you shoot. Right? Now, who you think going to get the most time? The guy driving or the guy shooting? Right? So, those spirits were still there. I mean, the spirits don't die. They were back in those days and they're still here today. You got to watch who you hang with. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. And the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead, but by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. I just want to grab my head. Who just gave the report? Who just gave the report about the man dying? The same guy that gave him the advice. See, when the devil would get you on a limb and then cut it off. Right? Like one brother say, the devil, he'll boost you all up to go rob a bank, and then you get locked in the bank, and he'll go on the outside and call the police on you and say, he in there robbing the bank. I can't believe he in there robbing the bank. You cannot trust the devil. The same guy that gave him the advice is the same guy that's telling the king, yeah, it's just Amnon that's dead. You the cause of this man dying. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. Like that's supposed to pacify the king. Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eye. Now, you wonder, by him being there to report that to the king, what is he looking for? What's his motive? But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is. Is it possible that this guy Jonadab wanted to take Amnon's place? Right? And that's why do this. You know, you're a king's son. Do this. And when you know your daddy gonna do this and your daddy gonna do that and ask for this and do that. And then when you die, I'm gonna be right there to tell your daddy what happened. Maybe I get on his good side. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept, and the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. As we said, David spoke that this person would have to restore 80. This is the second son dying, and God just allowed him to kind of go through some really, really difficult times after he had, been with Bathsheba, and he was not supposed to be with her. You know, God didn't take his life, and that's really what was supposed to happen. But you know what? Sometimes the things that we go through in life make us wish that God would have took us, right? And David had to go through some really, really rough things, here. That's just the beginning of his story. Sin has happened to his daughter. Sin has happened to his son Amnon. Now his son Absalom is on the run. Can't even come back because something may happen to him. And it's years that this process is taking place. We have to always have to remember that we're gonna always reap what we sow. We can't get around that. So. It's just really something. I thank God for putting these things in scripture. There's laws there to kind of keep some of that stuff from happening. But tell you what, if we followed those laws, then there's many a sins that would not be taking place. Incest wouldn't be happening. Homosexuality wouldn't be happening. Adultery wouldn't be happening if we just followed those laws that God put in his word. Amen. Rape wouldn't be happening if we followed the laws that God put in his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to read the word of God tonight. And everything that you place in scripture has purpose. So God, we just ask that you help us to apply this in there's people that we'll probably come in contact with that might even be involved in some of the stuff that we have read. Help us, Lord, to be able to share truth through your word. Help us to walk in light. And God, just knowing that we're surrounded by darkness, things like this happen all the time, all around us, daily it happens. Reminded of how your prophet was looking down in the city of Phoenix and sitting there with his wife looking down. And he said, how much sin is taking place in that city? How many people are committing adultery tonight in that city? And God, we can look in our city tonight and say, how many people are committing adultery? How much incest is going on here? How much stuff is going on right here in the midst of our city? Even in our, sometimes in our families, these things occur. But God, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to share truth. And that in sharing truth, Lord, that somebody would be converted, that they'd be delivered from this. We ask, oh God, that you would again, help us to apply what it is that we read, God. Don't let it just be a story that go in one ear and out the other, but help us to live this word. Holiness is what you long for. Holiness is what we need. Holiness is what you want from us, and that's what we desire to give you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.